Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
province is called Quebec, and they are
predominantly a French language province, and I live in New Brunswick, and we have a minority of about 39% is French speaking, and the rest are English speaking. And so I give you a little history lesson, and the reason I'm giving this, I'm talking about this tonight, because back in the day, there was a tremendous amount of prejudice and towards French people, and they have risen above the prejudices. But while gaining the much due respect, they have the politics, I should say, not they. Politics has turned the corner to have now the pendulum swinging the other way and reverse discrimination. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the reasoning behind this. Now, I grew up in Montreal until I was 13, and in an English neighborhood. I'm a unilingual English person. My dad was an engineer. He worked for Westinghouse at the time, and took French courses at night to comply with the bilingual requirements within the company. And my mother was bilingual because of school. She didn't have any official bilingual education, but just through what we learned in regular schooling, because French was taught starting in grade 3. But anyhow, there grew a group in Quebec, because Quebec became very adamant and militant. They wanted to separate from the rest of Canada. And they still have that militant group in the province. And they've had referendums, and they've lost the referendums because and by the skin of their teeth, like, you know, 51-49, that sort of thing. And they've had several referendums over the years, which costs, of course, millions of dollars to do. And the voices of the people of Quebec, the majority of them, is no, we don't want to separate from Canada. But you still have this militant group, separatists, or what they are called, and they want to separate from Canada. But in order to do that, they want to separate, but they want to take with them the Medicare that they've been had privilege of having all their lives, and they want the military, and they want the Canada pensions, and the list goes on. But they don't want to be part of Canada, and even their legislature does not fly the Canadian flag; it flies the flag of Quebec. And so that's where my history starts, in that province, in the city of Montreal. And then it was a group grew out of that militant group of people, and it was called the Front for the Liberation of Quebec, the FLQ. And they were indeed very militant, and their mandate was to rid the province of English-speaking people. And so they went to work and virtually I'm going to say it out loud, because they were terrorists, because they put bombs in the mailboxes in the English neighborhoods. And I was one of the kids that was kept home during that time, because you never knew what mailbox was going to blow up. And some people may think, oh, that's not true. It is true. You can look it up. Timeline of the FLQ, and especially the October crisis, and you will find what their purpose was. And when then, you know, this went on for a few years, and then in the October crisis was in 1970, and that was when the FLQ kidnapped two people. They Pierre Laporte and let me just look, I've lost it here. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll get it here in a minute. But they kidnapped these two people, and then the War Measures Act was invoked, which had not only it had only been invoked during World War II, and it resulted in many searches and arrests and detentions and the benefit of charge or trial. So it had been the War Measures Act had since then been replaced by the Emergencies Act, which is more limited in scope. So the body of October 17, 1970, the body of Pierre Laporte was found in a trunk of a car at the airport in Saint-Hubert, Quebec, and the government offered a reward for the kidnappers, and they did raid some places in Quebec where they had cell members, and their purpose was to get rid of the English language out of Quebec, and the way they did it was certainly not orthodox, democratic, Canadian, or any of those things. And police discovered where James Cross was the other one that was kidnapped, and was released, and the FLQ was given assurance of safe passage to Cuba. So they traded off their crime. We got James Cross back, but they went on to Cuba. And so they have, there were five members of that group that went on to Cuba, and Justice Minister John Turner decreed the exiles of Cuba would stand for life, and the five later moved to France. And eventually, all of them returned to Canada, where they served short jail terms for the kidnappings. And then in December of 1970, the army troops were withdrawn from Quebec. Paul Rose, Jacques Rose, and Francis Simard, the remaining three members of the cell, were arrested, along with Bernard Lorty, and they were charged with kidnapping and murder. They received life sentences for the murder, and Bernard Lorty was sentenced to 20 years for kidnapping. Jacques Rose was initially acquitted, but was later convicted of being an accessory and sentenced to 8 years in prison. So there was a long history from the 60s right up into 1980, when the sixth conspirator was charged with the kidnapping of James Cross, and he was sentenced to 12 months in jail. So that shows you the type of mentality that was happening in Quebec, and also spilling over into New Brunswick, and actually all over Canada, but specifically in Quebec. And my family at that time, it was 1967, and we moved out of Montreal, out of Quebec, and came to New Brunswick, and. But the problem didn't leave us. It was still part of our lives, because it slowly creeped into New Brunswick, because you had the very powerful Acadian Society who have been advocating for the rights for French people to work, because there was a terrible amount of prejudice that if some of the French-speaking people changed their names to anglicize the names so that they could get jobs, and it was very bad at one time. And so, you know, the societies rose up, the Acadian Society, to help combat the prejudices and to call for equality for jobs and opportunities for jobs in government, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a need for change, no doubt. And our province, as I said earlier, has up more than 60% are unilingual. They call it Anglophone, English, and the other percentage is French. So. But we have now, I'm just going to give you some brief history there, because there is a history of the Acadians as well. We have Quebec on one side, and their claim to fame ultimately is that they feel that the French were in Canada first. They were here first. They were the first conquerors, so to speak. They were the first people in the country, and so they get first dibs on everything. That's basically what it is in a nutshell. And then you have, so which I highly disagree with, because if you look at the overall picture, nobody from Europe were the first people here. The indigenous people were the first people here. The First Nations people from East Coast to West Coast and all of North America, they were the first people here. And so for to have somebody claim that, say that statement is true, saying that Quebec, the French were the first people here, is entirely wrong. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But we do have, and so then you go over to New Brunswick and or what was known as Acadia a few hundred years ago, and you had the French settlers that went into, which is what is now Cape Breton, into Nova Scotia, and settled there around Sydney, where you had the fortress at Louisbourg. And so you have, then there was a war that broke in 1755, and the British won. And so they said that they were trying to force the French, the conquered French, to sign an allegiance to the King of England. And those that signed could stay in Acadia, and those that did not sign were expelled, and therefore you get the expulsion of the Acadians. And so they were dispersed all over the place, all over the world. Many of them went south and into Louisiana, and that's where you get the name Cajun. It comes from the word Acadian. And so they settled down there in the bayous in and around Louisiana because they weren't accepted by the existing peoples, the French Quarter, the Spanish, and they were not accepted into that society. So they were kind of pushed out into the bayou. And if you watch any documentaries of that area, you will see names that are very familiar to the place where I live, named French names like Bellevaux and Bastrache and Landry and Cormier and all kinds of Leblanc. All these names are all Acadian names. So then that grew a group of people who were angry about the deportation of the people out of Acadia, and you get the Acadian Society that fought for the rights of the French for many years. But over the last 50 years, or maybe 45 years, 50 years, they have built a strong case for themselves to have equality for jobs and that sort of thing, but more than that, payback, so that whatever happened back in 1755 and onward, the people of today's society, myself included, are paying the price for what happened during the expulsion of the Acadians. And when I say that, I mean that when the pendulum started to swing, it started to, because then, I'm skipping ahead of myself. So in the meantime, in 1967, the year that I moved here, Pierre Elliott Trudeau had developed the Official Languages Act. And at the time, there's a video that speaks to this, and it's quite interesting, but they felt that it was time to allow French speakers to hold positions of responsibility in government, and that's great, and it should have been that way, and it should be that way. But what happened, because we have this one province and the rest of Canada kind of bullying the rest of Canada to be bilingual They want everybody in Canada to be bilingual, and ultimately we have they gain the ability to have control over many jobs. And I'm going to tell you, there was a quote that Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who was the Prime Minister of the country, Justin Trudeau, our current Prime Minister, was his father. And I will quote a quote that he said in 1967 that unilingual Anglophones will be subjected to a lifetime of job immobility with regard to bilingualism. And what that means is that they will always miss out on the big jobs, because if they're not French speakers, you don't get the job. And so you have this minority of people across the country and ruling the show, and so much so that they actually, Quebec just passed a rule recently and said that Quebec now is French only. That's it. Everything, all the signage, everything's going to be in French. And then, of course, New Brunswick's following behind on a similar endeavor to make New Brunswick all French. Now, I have to say that my three children, they had developed, of course, French immersion, so that the English kids could go into French immersion in grade 1 and grade 7 and learn and be immersed in the French language. So many of the English-speaking families put their children, their English children, in French immersion. And so, I think it was, and this is just my opinion, I think that the English families in this province of New Brunswick answered the call to bilingualism in the province because of the schooling that they put their kids in. And so now you have kids that are getting out of school that are functionally bilingual, which is what was requested, because if you behind the counter, if you're at a job, that you will be able to communicate with people who in the French language. And so many English kids were rising to the occasion. And so it has spun off further to that if you are English and can speak French, you need to pass a proficiency test in the French language. And ultimately, most English people fail it. And the test comes out of Quebec, and I'll tell you a little story that goes along with this. There's a university in my town, and it is a French university, and there were 8 English students who had gone through the French immersion program and were studying in French at the university, this French university. And because they were in their degree was going to be education, because they wanted to be French immersion teachers in this province. And so they had done their third year university, and the university decided at that time, after they had put 3 years of immersed studies in French, to give them a proficiency test. They all failed it. Can you imagine? They all failed it, and they had been studying in French for 3 years. At a full, immersed in it for 3 whole years at a French university. They all failed and were kicked out of school. And so there's something to be said for that it's not about bilingualism, it's about being French. And so, and I have to clarify something too, I want to make sure that everybody knows this, is that I have no qualm with my French brothers and sisters. What I have a problem with is our government and how they're forcing bilingualism on everybody and every English person in the province. I'll go with another story there after a little bit. But so now we have reverse discrimination in our province. I have to tell you that I'm going to read something to you, and this was a new statement from the government of New Brunswick. And so it's called "The Language Situation in New Brunswick: Worrying Trends and Some Encouraging Signs." And so You have, as of February 2021, they were very worried, and they were action on several fronts is necessary to mitigate or reverse some worrying trends relating to the official languages in New Brunswick, particularly when it comes to the French language community. And the conclusion of the study conducted by the Canadian Institute for Research on Linguistic Minorities on behalf of the Office of the Commissioner of Official Languages in New Brunswick. And it says, despite the existing legislative and constitutional protections that exist in New Brunswick, it is concerning to see the decline of French, which is the minority language of our province. And this was noted by Shirley McLean, the Commissioner of Official Languages for New Brunswick. The prior Commissioner of Official Languages was Catherine D'Entremont. The Official Languages Act recognizes that under the Canadian Constitution, the province has the authority to advance the equality of status of both official languages. This report contains important findings that can serve to influence public policy to increase equality between our two linguistic communities. But what's happening in New Brunswick and what's happening in Quebec is that the language is dropping. Less people are speaking French and more are speaking English. And so they're trying to protect the language and culture by legislating it into our lives. And this is so wrong because the responsibility of culture and language begins at home. And it is the home's responsibility to teach their language and their culture. Now, I know in the United States the official language is English, but you have a gargantuan Spanish community throughout the whole country. So you have Spanish as a second language in the U.S., but the difference is it is a second language. It can be offered in the public sectors and through the government sector and that sort of thing. But it's not legislated. It's not legislated saying that you have to have X amount of people speaking French, X amount of people on board and that sort of thing. Hang on, I want to take a call. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Are you listening to me going on my soapbox?
I just tuned in. I didn't know. I had told everyone the next show wasn't until Wednesday, so I didn't know you were. Anyway, Continue. I was listening. It's all good.
So, okay. So I was just talking about the legislation of language. And I think you get into trouble with that sort of thing because then it is the law. And then you have things like you cannot play English music in your store. You can't have the signage in Quebec now is you have big letters for the French and teeny, teeny, tiny letters for the English on a sign. You have the language police that go around and make sure that you're speaking French in the stores, in the public sector. You have the studies they talk about this. Reports explore several variables, including people's private and public use of the languages, their knowledge of the languages, and individual bilingualism. It also reviews the situation of the province's minority Francophone community and the factors that influence its sustainabilities, such as linguistic assimilation, the transmission of French migration and immigration. We just had a problem in the northern part of our province. They've kind of thrown it out now, but they had a group of, I think there were four or five French kids and then there was, you know, half a dozen or more English kids, both of them going, one group going to one school and one group going to the other school, but they traveled on the same school bus to their schools, and so it became through the official languages commissioner made an issue of it that these French children should not travel on the bus with the English kids because they were at great risk of losing their language and assimilating into the English language. Yep, you heard me right. They don't want any French kids traveling together on the school bus. And these kids were the same kids that after school played hockey together. So you have this paranoia that their language is going to disappear if they don't legislate it. You can't legislate that. If it's disappearing, it's not my fault. It's not the fault of any English-speaking person, but we're forced to comply with the laws of the land. So this bus thing was a bit ridiculous. And so they were going to take it to court and all this. They got somebody to come in and got another bus so the French kids could travel on one bus and the English kids could travel on the other bus. So you have the duality of cost. These, you could, like, let's pretend there's 12 kids, split them in half, and you have two buses, two bus drivers traveling these children to school. How insane is that? But it costs a lot of money. And then you have now, because of this Official Languages Act, you have two healthcare systems, one French, one English. Nope, that's not right. We have one French and one bilingual. Because in the process of all this, what's happened also is that the French communities in this province are not required by law to be bilingual. They are claimed and exist as a unilingual francophone areas. They do not have to be bilingual because they are a minority. However, all the English areas have to be bilingual. So it's only the English people in this province that need to be bilingual, which is entirely unfair. Any job in the job market, in the government, provincial, local, municipal, provincial, and federal governments, the vast majority of the jobs are deemed bilingual, but in essence, they want French speakers because they have the proficiency test, which most English people who speak French fail. And so this is how unfair it becomes. And the goal is to have a French language New Brunswick and a French country in Canada with regard to Quebec. And so these are just a few of the things that bug me. And because there is not equality, you have people that are afraid to speak what they think, because if you're like me, I have this venue right now saying what I want to say, but I would be classed as a bigot because I'm saying it out loud. I don't have any prejudice in me. We have a need for bilingualism in this province, but we don't have a need for a minority group of people being running. We get the tail wagging the dog. So if you have 60% English people versus 40% French-speaking people, the job equality and the division handing out of the jobs should be the same. It should have the same percentages, but it doesn't. Because they want French speakers to be the ones to have these jobs, and they okay. So I'm gonna. There's so much I want to say on this. It's kind of crazy, but there are the language is being lost because you know you look at the universal language of business. It's English. The universal language of air traffic control on the ground and in the air is English. And I'm going to say this, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to anyways because I'm on my soapbox. But the arrogance of Quebec during the time of 9/11, when most planes for several days were downed, I mean they were on the ground, when it took back up again, the French in Quebec decided that they were only going to speak French, air traffic controllers and the pilots. So the pilots from around the world were told, if you're going to fly in the airspace around Quebec, you're going to have to speak French. Okay, like, really? No, that's not how it works. So the world was told, don't fly over Quebec because it was dangerous. The universal language is English in flight and in air traffic control. So those are just a couple of little samples of the goodies that we have looked at in tears in my eyes, that's for sure. And so I'll tell you, too, that, let me see, the gap between the two languages is getting greater. And but let's say here, fewer than 9 in 10 Francophone people, or 68.8%, spoke their mother tongue most often at home compared to all Anglophones or English people at 98.5%. But the French in mixed couples, particularly mothers, are increasingly passing on their French to the children, and it is now more than 52% at home. And but on the other hand, mixed couples who have French as their mother tongue, it's up from 43.8% in 2001 to 52%. But because it's being lost, the language is being lost because when you think about television, radio, music, movies, everything pretty much is in English. And so kids are watching English TV. They're hanging out with English kids. They're playing hockey with them and ballet and the rest of it. And so they're trying desperately to keep a hold of their culture and their language, and everything is based on that. Everything. Everything. The budget cuts, not this past election, but the election before, they wanted all of the portfolios in New Brunswick's government to cut costs 5 to 10% each portfolio. And but the rule was there was only one portfolio that was not to be touched, and that was the bilingualism one. They didn't have to cut anything. They kept all their money and their grants and all the rest of it. And so the rest of the portfolios in the province had to cut back, and this was not to be touched. And so it's a very frustrating situation, because now what they're doing too is that when they talk about immigration, they're pushing immigration, but the immigration is from French countries only. So even to immigrate to Canada, to New Brunswick, they're pushing to have only people from those French areas in the rest of the world to come to our province. If you immigrate to Quebec, you don't have a choice in what school to go to. Your children, no matter where you come from, must be put in French school. So it's being forced. It's being forced upon English people. It's like, okay, I learned sign language many years ago, and I was involved with teaching Sunday school to the deaf that were in our church. I did it every Sunday. I was not immersed in it, but I was able to practice that language frequently and learned. Of course, it gets reinforced and you learn more and more. If you don't use it, I don't have a need to use French every day. Like most people who are English-speaking don't have a need to use the French language every day. And if you don't use it, you lose it. So that's to look at. Financially, the province we're poor because we have dual systems. We have dual health care. We have dual education systems. You have a hospital. One hospital is French. The other hospital has to be bilingual. Why? I worked as an RN in one of the hospitals that was considered the English hospital. And all 20-some years, I never encountered a problem communicating with anybody. I could speak a little tiny bit, and I understand more, but if there was a problem, there was always someone that you could go get to help you. I mean, we have had Russian people and German people and Chinese people, and there's people in the community that come in and help translate. And now you have technology that you can use. It's an app on your phone that you can use right when you're standing there and translate what you're saying. So there isn't that problem of not understanding one another's languages. But the legislation, the rules and regulations of the laws of the land are reflecting this in such a negative way that is causing a lot of dissension and discrimination. I just want to, what was else I was going to read to you here? Hang on a second. There's a lot of things to be said for this, and I think that, like, let's say the United States decided to put a referendum forward and to make Spanish and English the two official languages of your country. You'd be in big trouble, like we are. And that's not to say that people cannot be served in their language, because they can. You can be served in your language of choice. It's a big difference when they're to be able to be served in your language and to be forced to speak it if you don't. Like, we were forced to use a phrase answering the phone at the hospital, and there was a great many people that were unilingual English, and so they had to learn this big long phrase and this verse and then tell them, you know, we're going to go find somebody for you, etc. And it, for anybody that didn't speak French, it would be very difficult to do this and to get every employee, every English employee to do this. And yet it wasn't the same at the other place. It's not a rule over there, you know, or any other area that remains a unilingual francophone. So I have a beef about it being forced down my throat, being forced on the province, costing the province an enormous amount of money. If you go to the motor vehicle branch to get a brochure to get your beginner's license or any other information, the pile of literature that's in French and the pile of literature that's in English, you can see at the end of the day, the French brochures remain there. And I'm talking too much. My throat's getting dry. So while we need to have bilingualism, I don't think we need it to the place where we have people losing jobs, not being able to get jobs, simply because they don't speak the language. I want to cite one story for you. Just going to go check in the studio again. And that story is... we had a girl that worked with us who was English, but she spoke French fluently and functionally. And she was a student nurse, and she worked on the weekends and holidays and the summers and stuff. And when she graduated with her degree and got her RNs, she applied for a job on our floor, and she got it. And then she had to pass the proficiency test, which, of course, she did not. And for language. And so they hired somebody she lost the job. They hired somebody that came from the French university who could barely speak English. She couldn't read English. She couldn't write English. She couldn't discern the doctor's orders. She couldn't, she didn't understand the abbreviations that we use in our charting. And she got the job. Like, I don't know what you think about that, but that's not being qualified. I couldn't get a job over at the Dumont Hospital and with those poor skills in French, I would never get a job there. But people are being hired based on their language alone, which is, again, unfair. You give up the quality of service. And then you're getting into a danger zone, too, you know, because we had a thing with the ambulance services where they wanted the paramedics to be, the majority of paramedics in the province were English. And so they wanted to have bilingual paramedics. And so there was a big kerfuffle over that, and you had
waited for people that were in French people that were training. So you had one English person on the ambulance, and then the other one was French and could speak English, but did not have the skills to save your life. So, I think I'd rather get my life saved than whether they can speak the language or not. Now, Debbie, put a little. Can you? Do you want to make a comment? So, what do you think of all this so far?
Well, I'm thinking that I wouldn't want to be forced to do anything, but that I don't really feel comfortable commenting too much because, like, I don't live there. You know what I mean?
No,
but
so
I think that all the information that you're sharing is fascinating.
Yeah, like it's enormous. Actually, it really is enormous, and it's sometimes you shake your head and you wonder if you live in a democratic country, because this is shoved down everybody's throat, you know. And I went to an election one time, and we have a market in one of the where I was living, and I go into the place and to register and everything and vote. And on one wall, on the right hand side, the wall was filled with all the flags of the country plus other countries. And I'm looking at all the flags, and I don't see a Canadian flag. And I'm looking around, making sure that I don't see one, you know, because I don't want to go make a big noise if there is one somewhere. And I'm looking, and every wall, went outside to see if there was one hanging outside, and there was one, there were none. But there were an Acadian flag, and I had explained earlier about the Acadian Society that's here, and French Acadia, the origin of it. Earlier, and but there was this Acadian flag. So I go and I look, and there's a guy that's running for council. I guess it must have been the municipal election. And I went up to him and I said, you know, I said, you got some really nice flags here. I said, but I don't see any Canadian flag flying. And he said, oh, really? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, there's none outside. He looked, he said, no, there's none. And I said, he said, is there one outside? I said, no, there isn't. He went outside to look, and there was no flag, of course. And he comes back in, and I looked at him, and I said, did you find one outside, Ethan? He said, no. I said, you know something? I said, and this was a municipal election for the town of Dieppe, where I lived prior to moving out to the beach. And it is a unilingual Francophone community with English people living in it, but it's a French community, which does not have to be bilingual. And I said, the only reason that you're standing here in the position during this election and you're running to run as a councillor for the city of Dieppe, I said, the only reason that you can stand here and do that is because you live in Canada. We're Canadian first. And whatever cultural heritage you have, yay, celebrate it, yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. I'm Irish, you know, like all of us have a different ethnic background. And but I said, you are able to stand here and run for this government, this municipal government, because you're Canadian and you live in this country. That gives you the right to do what you're doing. It makes me sick when I think about it, you know, because you have people like the province of Quebec, they don't fly Canadian flags. They fly their own Quebec flag. And the Acadians, we have Canada Day here. And then you have the celebration, that's coming up this weekend. And then you have the celebration of the Acadians, expulsion of the Acadians of 1755. And you have this gargantuan celebration, flags all over the place. And I think that's wonderful that they have their own heritage and their culture and the history, and I think that's fabulous. But the bottom line for me is they don't like the English people. And I'm saying that out loud, and everybody can call me whatever they want, but this is the soapbox. And I have experienced this myself, going into a store and speaking in English and them speaking French back to you, and you say you speak again in English and they still speak back to you in French, and on it goes. And if if that was reversed and a French person went to an English store and said, spoke to them in French and they didn't speak back in French, it would be reported to the English, to the languages commissioner in the province. And this is no joke, because there was a gentleman that was 10 months from his retirement. He was a commissionaire, like they have these commissionaires in the government buildings. And the at the time, language commissioner, Catherine D'Entremont, came and approached him and spoke to him in French, and he was English. And he said, I don't speak French, but I'll go get someone who does. And no, that's okay. She filed her own report to her own department and had him fired because he didn't speak French to her. And that was a big, big thing. He ended up getting his job back, but he was outside in the parking lot in the snow. So you have a lot of things like that go on, and you don't hear about these kinds of stories, the bus, school bus, and this story with him. You did hear about it because people just were incensed by it. It was just ridiculous. And so you have a situation now where you have, like I said earlier, you have the tail wagging the dog. And I went to, I wanted to go, this is quite a few years ago, I wanted to go, they have a this celebration, this Dix-Saint-Cinq, it's 1755, celebrating their own culture, but it was about the experience of the expulsion of the Acadians. So, again, they have all kinds of great music, and they have guests that come up from Louisiana and all over the world. They come and speak and sing and celebrate. And so I wanted to go to this this function, this big outdoor thing. And so I went with a couple of three friends of mine, and we sat on the bleachers, and they were singing their songs. And I just wanted to feel what it would like, be like to sit and belong to a group that was so patriotic, so loyal to their history and culture. And so they have certain words in French for English people, and they were singing all these songs, and one of the things and the people were shouting, and they had their flags, and they had their painted faces, and it was a big celebration, and a lot of the songs, they were talking about the expulsion of the Acadians, and they talked about the about les ennemis, les Anglais, les ennemis. And every time they said les Anglais, les ennemis, the place went berserk, like they just went nuts. And it got scary because I felt, and of course I was speaking English, and my friends were speaking English, and people behind us were making comments, like right that were directly behind us. And I can understand French, and so I speak a little bit of it, not very much, but I understand more than I can speak. And they were using some of the derogatory terms to call us names. And one of the names is interpreted in English as the squarehead. That's not a nice, in from them, it's not a nice name to call. It's called Tat Carré. And so it's called, you're a squarehead. And they were calling us squareheads and other things. And I left. I said, I'm not staying. It's too scary because I felt like I was going to get jumped or something because it was just so powerful. And so I feel like there's a lot of power within the groups now in this Acadian group and in Quebec with the separatists, etc., that they're a little bit frightening because they have so much power. When you have a minority, like the province of Quebec is like, I think it's 28% of the population of the country, and they make all the rules. And then you have, with regard to bilingualism, and then you have the same thing happening here in New Brunswick. I went to see one of the political people who was running for election, not this last one, but the one before, and because I wanted to talk to him about the plight of the English person in this province, because he's representing New Brunswick. And the majority is 60% English. So I go to his office and introduce myself. I tell him where I'm from and what I experienced as a kid and my concerns about job inequality in the province and healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. And I had 15 minutes to speak with him.
about my concerns, and he interrupted me 3 times to comment on my purse. He was telling me what a great purse, a beautiful purse, purse, and I just stuck to my goal in having him hear what I had to say. In the end, I had to say, look, I said, if you really want this purse, you can get it for $50 at Shoppers Drug Mart, you know, like they had. And because it was so irritating that he thought I was some dumb blonde or something coming in there trying to talk sense to him. So in the end, he was pretending he was writing stuff down. He was going to deal with it, all different scenarios I was presenting to him that were problems. It was only like one situation that I knew about, but there was probably 50 more behind me, you know. And so at the end of it, I said to him, now, what am I going to tell English New Brunswick? I said, what can I tell them? Are you going to help English New Brunswick have job equality? Can I tell the English New Brunswick that? He didn't answer me. I had to ask him 3 times, and in the end, I said, are you going to help us? He said, no. So there is a huge agenda with regard to the Official Languages Act and how they're invoking that, and it's causing a lot of what they call brain drain. And so a lot of our smart people that are unilingual English are going to the U.S. and elsewhere for jobs. You get a university, there's no, you can't get a job if you don't speak French. Like there's a whole, it's just affected so many areas of our lives in this province, and it's costing a fortune, and it's draining, and they don't care. They don't care as long as they have what they want. They don't care it's costing bazillions of dollars. So I've been yapping on and on. So I don't know. I don't even know if I've got a. I think we need to really look at ourselves and say, when is the unity going to take place? When are we going to start taking care of each other and looking at what is best for the people, not what's best for you or grease your pocket for this or that? But I think, and I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of it. I'm like I said earlier, like my kids all speak French. We have a need for it. It has to be here, but it doesn't have to be legislated down our throats. In every angle. Not every single job needs to be bilingual. Not every single person working in the province has to be bilingual to the point where you're not getting jobs. But and the language is being lost because you have an influence all around that is English, you know? And it's parents need to do their job at home. Louisiana has many of the displaced persons that through the expulsion, many of them went down to Louisiana. They weren't accepted by the French Quarter down there, and they were shoved out into the bayou. As I said earlier, there's all kinds of local names that we have here that are down in Louisiana. They never lost their language. They still speak French down there. They have schools that teach French, like they teach in French so that they keep their language. It's not legislated, but they've done it. They keep their language, they keep their culture, and everybody's living happily ever after. Europe is also another place where you have people who learn several languages, their mother tongue, whatever country they're from, plus English and French and perhaps Spanish or German. But it's not legislated. But they're all bi and trilingual. They learn it because it's there. It's part of life. It's a gift. It's a bonus. But it's not legislated. When you start legislating stuff like that, you are in trouble because these kinds of things happen. And it ends up you want, in order to oversee the bilingual aspect of things, then up the ladder they go to the very top when everybody has to be French. And so that's what's happening. And I have somebody at the door. I'm going to answer the door. I think it's Hatter.
I'm muted.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, fine. Just listening to you.
I'm do I sound like a raving lunatic, or?
No, you sound like you're speaking your mind. I have a question, though. I can't stay. Do you have the rundown for the next 3 days, or should I say it before I go?
Yeah, go ahead and say it.
Okay, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern is Open Poetry with Wolf Spirit. On Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern as well is Sweet Pea, Sweet Discussions about Pink, the singer, Pink. And on Friday is you and Wayne at Tic Mac Pro, if you're still playing.
Oh, right on.
That's at 11 p.m. Yep. Eastern.
Perfect. Thank
and that's the game
in.
We had to cancel because poor Wayne had a broken air conditioner. So I'm looking forward to hearing you guys play. And like I said, you packed a lot of powerful information into your soapbox, so I'm going to shut up so you can continue to do so. And
thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow, Hatter.
Okay.
Love and respect, you guys.
Thanks, Deb, for calling in. Love and respect. Yeah, so Hatter, you've been listening in. What do you think?
Sounds like a class problem.
A class problem.
Well, they want to separate classes. They want to, if you don't speak the language they do or do what they say, they want to put you in a lower class, look down on you.
Yeah. It comes down to racism, and, you know, it really does. Like, you have a group of people. Yeah.
That's definition. Sure. It can be taken as that. As such. Rather than national, you know, they probably hide themselves behind the, say they're being a nationalist or something, and it just thinks of
racial.
There
was a plan. Yeah, it's been a plan for years, with starting back in the 60s, and Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Trudeau's father, was prime minister, and that was his goal, was to make Canada French, and. They'll never do it. They'll make our lives miserable trying, though. And, you know, if you speak out against it, then you're a bigot. And, it's necessary to have French and English. It's necessary because that's the population. But it's not necessary to legislate it down other people's throats so that they can't even function. They can't get a job. You know, and that kind of stuff. That's what's infuriating to me. And the dialogue is just, you know, I go to different elections and try to talk to the people who are running for election about these kinds of things. And when are you going to, you know, stand up for the English person along with the French person? And the answer is always the same. Nope.
Is that like just in their province or something?
It's in my province, but it's also in the province of Quebec, because they want that same thing for the whole country. They want, you know, I went to the States one time to go see my sister, and we were going through customs, and there was a woman in front of us who was from Quebec, and she started speaking French to the officer that was there for the U.S. And I loved her answer. She said, "You're entering the U.S. now. If you can speak English, speak it, because we're not speaking French. We don't speak French." But that's the arrogance of some. They expect the whole world to speak their language. I went to Dominican Republic. They had their own group there, and they didn't fraternize with any English people. They just stayed by themselves.
Well, sticks and stones. Sticks and stones.
Yeah.
They call everybody a bigot, though.
I just think equality should be equality. Don't scream and yell about what's happened to the during the expulsion of the Acadians 400 years ago, and then expect the world to be your at your beck and call for all of the. I got to read you another article about the. I did some research in the history of the Ivory Coast, and that was a real eye opener to see how the French went over and conquered the Ivory Coast. And one of the first things they did was, you know, expel the indigenous people out of the Lacushi places and took over the mines and demanded that they go to school and learn the French language, and they took their, the indigenous people were forced not to, they were not allowed to speak theirs. So I find that
just being
kind of
bullied.
Hard to, you know?
Just being bullied.
Yeah, but I mean, it's shaped the country. It's, you know, it's caused a lot of problems. It's, financially, it's been a breaker for our economy.
It seems like it's all like global.
You think it's a global thing? Is that what you said? How do you think it's a global thing?
Okay, it's like globalist theory or philosophy.
Well, I think when you have war and a country that has conquered another country. I mean, you pretty much have to expect to be compliant in your new ruler's desires for the country, right? All's fair in love and war. I don't think it's fair to fast forward 400 years and have the whole country pay for what happened to people back then. I don't still think that's right. What do you think about that?
Reparations?
Yeah.
Reparations is a tough one. You know, what happened in the past, there's only 2% of the population of the United States are even related to anybody that might have owned a plantation, less than 2%. And sometimes it's felt guilted into, I don't know. So when did, you said this has been since the 60s, you said?
I'm sorry?
This movement.
What did you say about?
Rid your country of the English.
Hunter, I didn't hear what you said. Say it over again, please.
Oh, okay. The movement to rid your country of English, speaking English.
Yeah.
That's been since the 60s?
In the 60s, yeah.
Well, doesn't look like they've done a very good job, right?
No. Well, the big thing is that they're trying to protect their own language. Like everything, they're trying to legislate their language so that everything, they're forcing people to listen to French music, watch French TV, speak French, English.
Could it be that it was always just the majority French speaking, and they maybe feel like the English is being pushed on them, so they're pushing back? Sometimes that's sort of a. I mean, I don't know the politics of it.
No, if you look back in the history of Quebec. Their big thing was they were first, and they need to be recognized as being first, and they are the ones that count. And,
So what do you have, governors of the provinces? Who's the head of each province?
We have premiers. There's premiers in each province, like governors, yes. But they're called premiers.
Okay. Hold on, lady. I gotta move.
Yeah. I'm just eating a couple of carrots.
So
here.
Did you want anything red?
Well, you got something that you can. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Give me a second. Oh, okay. I just had dinner served.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So, I asked if you were planning on reading anything or what kind of a work did you want, if any, or is this just a soapbox thing?
Well, you can read whatever you like. If you have something that might pertain to that, then fine. But if you don't, you can read some.
I think I might. It would be called Messages. Let me go find it.
Okay.
So you're in a heat spell up there, right? I saw
the goodness. It's really hot.
How hot did you get?
It was in the 90s.
Wow.
But we have tremendous humidity, though. Like, I have curly hair. My hair is naturally curly, and I pretty much straighten it. And today was so humid. I did my hair this morning, and it was curly by the time I got home.
Okay. This might be... But you can you need to read it, okay?
I need to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right.
Make a group disappeared. Oh, come on.
Okay. Where did it go?
What time did you start?
Well, I can't find it. I mean, I have to refresh this minute.
Well, I can't find the group. Hold on. Okay, right here. That's ridiculous.
Hmm.
Okay, on its way now.
Oh, okay. All right, got it. And this is called From the Sacred Store by Jay Hatter. And the title in here is from the Sacred Store, but he has the message, "Hello, darkness, my old friend. Is anyone out there? Can anyone hear me? I've seen the dreams from the Sacred Store, tales of an earlier experience that held the world's hand and showed it peace. I have heard the voices from a previous day and wonder why. I have climbed the stairway at night. I have stopped the rain. I have been to the mountaintop. I have flown from the watchtower. I have heard the voices from a previous day and wonder why. I have traveled with the thief of thoughts. He walks in my shadow, repeating my words. There is no place to hide when he whispers, know your name." And poem. That whispers, know your name. That was brilliant.
I know your name, yeah.
I like, second one to you.
That one's about.
Sorry, because that sounds like. Can anyone hear? But there's a line in here I'm looking for, and I can't find it now.
I wrote that like in 1986 or something like that.
Oh, wow. Now, where did that go? Yeah, I thought this was a great piece. I like how you used some of the lines in here. Reminded me of different songs. What is the song that starts out there? Is anybody out there? Is there anyone out there? You know what song I mean?
Pink Floyd?
Yeah. And then you climb the stairway at night, which would, I'm interpreting that as the stairway to heaven. I've been to the mountaintop. I have flown from the watchtower. Oh, here it is. I love this. I have traveled with the thief of thoughts. He walks in my shadow repeating my words. I love that line. The thief of thoughts. You're a brainiac.
A brainiac? No.
Yeah. Yeah, I really
that
like
ending,
how you write.
That ending actually was added on probably about several years ago, but I didn't like how it ended, the original, so it always bugged me, so I did put that on that end from the original.
Okay. No, I really liked it. I didn't really write anything for this show. I wanted to read a bunch of stuff. I hate what's happening. I hate that there's hate in the world like this, that the people detest other people because of the language they speak. I don't understand how a group of people can endure persecution, prejudice, come out on top, winning equality, and turn around and do the same thing to other people. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't either. I think they should be put on a timeout and sent to their room.
Yeah. I'm going to read you some stuff here. And it really surprised me.
Sure. I want you to read that one too, please.
Which one? You put another one in?
Yeah.
Okay. And this, my friends, is tell me again. I am your friend, even if you have to lie, by Jay Hatter. The years have grown old. The days are now cold. The sounds are numbing my brain. Looking inside you, do you feel like I do, believing there's no one to blame? I hope there will be someone looking for me, someone to hold my hand, someone like you that knows what to do, someone that understands. Now summer's come late, no memories to make, no shade to hide from the sun. Painting the halls as I hang from the walls, wishing again to be young. It is not clear what it is that I hear, whispers that never come true. I rust in the dark. It's all falling apart, lost in search of you. I cannot foresee what becomes of me. The rain is clouding my eyes. Tell me it's true, and that it was you.
even if you have to lie? What if I'm stoned and find I'm alone? Would you stop and turn away? Tell me again, like I am your friend. Tell me you decided to stay. Aww. You know, you really blow me away, because what you say in such simple terms and in such clarity, and it's just so penetrating and deep and moving. And, you know, tell me again, like I'm your friend, tell me you decided to stay. You just make me cry in almost every one of your poems, honestly. You have such power and emotion in them. I just love it. I don't think I've ever read this one before.
No, I just got done writing it. I just wrote it.
Oh, you just wrote it. It's new.
I finished tweaking it, yeah.
Wonderful. Like I said,
thank you, lady.
You're a brainiac, a brainiac. Okay, so, all right, I'm going to read about the Ivory Coast for a minute. I'm not off the soapbox yet. Soon I will be off of it. All right, let me see.
Ivory Coast in Africa?
Yeah. Okay. It's on the south coast of West Africa. And the economic capital, the city of Yamoussoukro, I can't pronounce it. It borders Guinea and northwest Liberia, Mali to the northwest. Anyways, it describes where it is. But I wanted to go back, okay, before the colonization of Europeans, the Ivory Coast was home to several states, including all these different African states. The area became a protectorate of France in 1845 and was consolidated as a French colony. In 1893, amid the European scramble for Africa, it achieved independence in 1960, led by Félix Mobutu, I can't pronounce the names, I'm sorry, who ruled the country until 1993, and was relative. Ivory Coast established close political and economic ties with its West African neighbors, but that's not what I want to get to. I want to get to when they first were settled or conquered pretty much by the French. And, okay, let me see. They were originally Portuguese and French merchant explorers in the 15th and 16th centuries, and it was divided the west coast of Africa into four coasts. And so the Ivory Coast, how's it going? All these different things here, hang on. Well, they talk about what they, you know, the fabrics that they were able to make, and they were, there was mining that was done too the metals, like for that sort of thing.
That'd been probably the time of, you know, Marco Polo and the trade route to the east for the spices and stuff.
They go through all of the, okay, here's what I wanted to read. Okay, so the Ivory Coast, though practicing slavery and the slave raiding, suffered little from the slave trade. European slave and merchant ships preferred other areas along the coast. The earliest recorded European voyage to West Africa was made by the Portuguese in 1482. Then the Dutch ceded to the French and settled in off of Dakar and Goree Island. But what I'm trying to point out here is that when the French did take over, they signed treaties with the kings of the Grand Bassam and the regions, and making the territories a French protectorate. French explorers and missionaries, trading companies, and soldiers gradually extended the area under French control inland and to the lagoon region. I want to get to the okay. They had the treaties that were, of course, broken, but the first what they did with the colonies is that they took the people's language away from them and forced them to speak French. To make them assimilate to French culture. So my point was with all of this was that their own history shows the same kind of behavior that British were accused of with the expulsion of the Acadians. And they got rich over the goods and the natural resources of this African country. And the French military were sent inland to establish new posts. Some of the native population and former slave-owning class resistant French settlers. Among them, they talk about the different groups of people that rebelled against it. But France was very instrumental. While they officially abolished slavery in most of French West Africa from 1904 to 1958, and the Ivory Coast was part of the Federation of French West Africa. But one of the things that you can do to have a group of people or a country submit to you is to rid them of their own language and culture, which is what they did with the Ivory Coast, the people from the Ivory Coast, which is what they did, what the churches did with the indigenous children that went to these schools, these residential schools. They stripped them of their language, their culture, their very being. And so this is what happened to the Ivory Coast. With the people that lived there, they were overrun by the French governments and the French people, and they had lost their languages and their culture. And so you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't complain about having that happen to you and poor me, and I should have reparation, and we should have this, and we should be French and all the rest of it, when they've done the same thing. It's been happening for hundreds of years, and, you know, you can't undo it. You know, it's like Japan and, you know, the camps, and it's like in Europe and all of these terrible things that took place. They took place. You can't undo it at all. How do you feel about taking down the monuments, the statues of those people that have, in history? How do you feel about that?
I think it's a mistake. It's definitely a mistake, and I don't think most of the citizens of this country agree with it. It's just the leaders folding to a certain aspect of political power right now, and they're bowing down to them. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't agree with it.
I'll tell you what.
One other thing, Lady A. Back in the, you know, in the 1500s, the 1600s, the missionaries that would go into the third world, the non-civilized countries, for lack of a better term, they were missionaries, and they thought they were doing them a favor. They thought they were doing them good to teach them how to read and write and be a part of the population that was going to, it's going to happen right before their eyes in probably the next decade or two. So, you know, there's a certain amount of that. I'm not saying that it was right. They came in and overtook a country and abused anything. But I do believe there was an aspect when the missionaries went in first, they thought they were doing them a favor, bringing them, learning them how to read and write and such, and the religion that they carried with them. And that's just the way it was.
Well, I partially agree with you, but I think a lot of it, too, was like they went over in these ships and, you know, went onto these islands that were virtually paradise and brought diseases
that they never had before.
Yeah. Right.
And they may have meant well, but they were, you know, they were used and abused by the rest of the Europeans, you know.
Sure, sure. There's bad in everything that humans do. They screw up everything. But it wasn't just everything. It wasn't always running there with your navy bombarding the coastline and then going there and wiping everybody out. It wasn't always like that. So, you know,
okay,
I'm sure that did go on. I'm absolutely sure. Any resistance, that was the next step. So.
So here's what I was leading to with the government, with the monuments and stuff. John A.
Yeah.
Macdonald was the first Prime Minister of Canada, and he was very much the dominant figure of the Canadian Confederation when all of Canada came together as a country in 1867. And he had a political career that was pretty much almost 50 years long. Now, he established, or how am I going to put this now? He promoted the schools, the residential schools. He also approved the execution of Métis leader Louis Riel for treason in 1850. You have to read the history of who Louis Riel was, but in Canada. And it alienated a whole bunch of Francophones from his conservative party until his death in 1891. But because of MacDonald has come under criticism for his role in the Chinese head tax, the federal policies towards indigenous people, including his actions during the Northwest Rebellion that resulted in Louis Riel's execution, and the development of the residential school system designed to assimilate indigenous children. So now they're taking all his statues down, all his stuff down. The first prime minister of our country, and they're taking all of his stuff down because...
Well, that doesn't do any good. You know,
no.
I think that right now they're trying to rewrite history right before our eyes.
Yeah.
And it's not a smart thing to do. I mean, you have to understand the political environment of the age that you're talking about, the decade that you're talking about is totally different.
Yeah.
The pressures from overseas, the pressures from up above you in the governments, the pressures from the people. I mean, you don't know, the church at any given time could be the most powerful thing in society. There's another angle you need to look at. What the decisions
yeah.
that they made and then who made them. Because it's not always the way it was. It wasn't the same as it is today. Things weren't talked about. Things were, it just was a different flipping time. Before you criticize... and then another thing, how much since I've aged, found out that we were lied to big time on our U.S. history, and then in researching, so does every other country. So, what is true history? Sometimes you better understand that. Don't let it break your heart when you find out it's not.
Well, yeah, I think everything we do, our government especially, is all based on lies. I mean, I think that, I think you can't trust anybody. And I think you certainly can't go back and redo what's happened. You have to move forward, and you have to move forward together. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to learn from the past. Not erase it.
You know. Yeah. Okay, I got a poem here. I'm going to read it a little bit. Let me see. I wrote one called Come Through This Door. Put it in the room here for you.
I see it.
Okay. Come through this door, and you can see some Canadian history. France conquered new land. A fort was built. Today it stands, Fort Beauséjour. Wars erupt from greedy men wanting land to empower them. Come through this door, sail with Britain to a new world to conquer. Fort Beauséjour surrendered. Surrendered the Chignecto Isthmus to the British. Fort Cumberland was established, renamed by the English. It was the beginning of the end of French Acadia in Nova Scotia. Come through this door and see the history connecting you and me. Did you know this land of Acadia encompassed Canada's east coast, Quebec, and northern Maine? British or French greed is the same. Greed attempts to conquer land and tears people asunder. Come through this door and you will see little has changed. War continues, a plague upon this earth, greed for more of her dirt, war between races, religions, even language. This door never closes. A crack remains open for the next war to begin. Come through this door and you will see we all have more in common than we have different. Come through this door, we can't change the past. We can change the future. Come through the door and see. And poem.
Yeah. Tell me how you really feel.
Ain't that the truth, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, and knowing that every history in every country is twisted one way or another, sometimes more, sometimes less. And that's one in itself a reason to not look back, because you don't know what you're defending, really.
I just know how it affects people today, and that when it affects people to this point, then you still see that their hatred is still there. The animosity is still there. You know, the desire to be first, the desire to be number one. There's no, you know, people betterment of people. They do stuff selfishly.
How many times in history has France and England gone to war?
A bazillion times.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Do we go back in history and pay reparation for all that's been done? Where do you draw the line?
They just don't see it that way.
About when they went over to Newfoundland and they annihilated the whole indigenous population, killed every single one of them. You know?
Oh, there should be accountability for that if that was negligence or crime.
It's just stupidness. Selfish and stupid.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find another one. I agree. I don't think I read this before. Oh, yeah, I think you read it. So, other than the bees, what's your soapbox?
Me?
Yeah. You don't really have one, do you? You're pretty easygoing.
Yeah. No, I do. It's a number of them, but I also come to the realization that it's no longer my world. I've done my part. Too tired. I got things needed. Your priorities change. It's a young person's theater to do that.
Yeah.
So says the prepper.
I'm going to read one, but I'm not putting it in the room, okay?
Okay.
Because I might skip a few pieces. I don't want it to be out there. It's called A Time for a Bridge, Time for a Bridge Over Calm Waters. Yep, calm waters. And the hardest thing in life is to know which bridge to cross and which to burn. Who is tired? Tired of the selfish punks pretending they stand for justice and freedom. Who is tired of paying for the sins of the past, for being English, white, and Protestant? Who is tired of trusting in people, believing in friendship, those who choose to automatically believe the worst instead of coming to ask? Who is tired of quotes like, be your authentic self? She needed a hero, so that's what she became. Why, you ask? Well, punks have been around the beginning of time. Nothing going to change there. It only gets worse. Whose fault is it? Kids are left to their own devices, parents working, kids being babysat with computers and phones. It wasn't there in 1755. Yet the hate continues, and affirmative action now has the pendulum swinging the other way. In the other direction, reverse discrimination. I can look at Quebec. This is my experience. My mother taught all her children about equality and fairness and respect for all races, religions, and anyone who is different than I am. Being me does not make me better. It just makes me me. And it's me, and it means you are no better than I am either. Friendship is an illusion, a fanciful thought, when in fact friendship is strictly based on people's own agenda. Through thick and thin, you say? No, not even to clarify any and all situations. Friendship is a load of crap. Pretty much makes one feel like saying a giant you-know-what off. Now let's join hands and sing Kumbaya. Be your authentic self, but if you live as your authentic self, guess what? That's right. They don't like you. I have been, I am, I always will be my authentic self. You don't like it? Too bad. End of poem.
Yeah. Who cares what they think? There's a...
Yeah.
There are certain things you can't change. That's one of them. You can't change what people think.
And we have
waste
no
energy.
Control.
Don't waste that energy. Worry about it. Just carry on. The more you ignore it, the better off you are anyway. I mean,
yeah.
That's what a heckler does. A heckler wants you to pay attention to him because now you are in his head. So try not to pay any attention to him.
Yeah. I'm checking. There's still nobody called. I just put... I wrote a little apology in the room earlier. Because life has been challenging.
We got 15 minutes? We got 15 more minutes?
We can go now because, you know, nobody else is going to call in. If you want to go, that's okay with me. We can end it now.
No. No, I didn't know what time you started, so I wasn't sure.
Oh, started at midnight my time, 11 o'clock Eastern.
So that's 4 hours different than me, so 8.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's like 1:45 right now.
Shoot, now I got to guess the title. Shoot. I can't remember the title to search for it. Gosh darn.
Well, I got one about you. You want me to read it?
Well, yeah, if I can remember what, in order to search for it, because I know it's way back in my vault. Give me a minute.
Well, I got one right. I got one right here. It's called Hatter Days.
Oh, okay.
Put in D-A-Y-Z. Kay's been listening. Well, thanks, Kay. I hope you like the show. Okay, it's in the room there now. And it's called Hatter Days by Lady A. Defense fence with gated door to keep love away. Into the mountains to escape the pain. Lost to the world outside where nobody knows his name. Browsing round the internet one day in search of the written word, he came across AP, all poetry for those who've never come to see. Hitched his wagon to a star in poetry land so beautifully unique. The Angry Poet was his moniker, but we all know the difference. Soft and gentle are his words, and most of all, will make you cry. Sadness in his heart pours out from thoughts and some regrets. Mistakes he's made, he's not alone. We've all fallen off the rails. Get up and try again and beat back the voice of failure. Life weighs heavy on his heart. We all see through the facade. He's charming, funny, talented, writes a perfect rhyme. Cadence is impeccable. Our hearts he steals each time. Unaware of his talent rare, he does not know his worth. Writer, poet, singer, musician, his songs will make you weep. Cherished treasure, his words of pleasure fall in your ears so sweet. We honor you. Come dine with us. We'll bring Alice and the gang. We celebrate the man you are with love and much respect. Jay Hatter, you are a humble man. I wish you happiness and peace. My admiration is what I give to honor you this night. Continue writing poetry to make us swoon and melt our hearts each night.
There, lady, eh?
Love you.
I can get mad.
Get mad.
Yeah, I'm an angry poet.
No, you're not.
I don't know what to say. But damn. Thank you so much.
Welcome. I know I bug you about it all the time, but I see something that I don't think you even see in yourself.
Where'd you get my picture?
Stole it.
Well, thank you again. I don't know, it's hard to comment. Blushing, thank you.
From my heart to yours.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Wow. Okay, maybe I won't go so deep.
No, you just keep being you.
Because, no, I mean,
that's what everybody...
looking for a piece to read.
Oh.
My head's all a flutter right now.
We only got about 10 minutes left. And,
What other shows you got coming up?
Oh, I'd have to go look on the thing and see. Hang on a second. Let me check this too. No. Excuse me.
I
think I'm done. Well, Friday night is Tic Mac Poe Friday night with Wayne.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was postponed from last week, right?
Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good, lady.
He is. He really is. But he still does not have my My
system.
No.
Yeah, you got a formula.
And then next week after that is another of my shows too. I haven't got anything planned for it yet, though. I've been out of sorts, Hatter.
What's that?
I've been out of sorts. Having a.
Have you?
Yeah.
And I was in a funk too for a little bit. I thought I was coming out of it, but I sort of feel it coming around.
How are you feeling anyways, just with your back and everything?
I had the MRI done last Friday. Doctor's looking at it now. I'm sure he's just going to schedule a date.
Well, hopefully everything will be turned out okay for you. It's an awful thing, though, eh?
Yeah.
Those surgeries are so iffy anyways. And I mean, I had two on my back, and the last one was more extensive and a larger area on my back, and I'm not pain-free at all, not by any stretch of the imagination. I do wear a support belt if I'm going to do anything of any significance around the house or if I go for a walk. I hate wearing it outside because it's so bulky, but it helps a lot for supporting my back because it's toast, but it is what it is, right?
I'd drop to my knees if I could and pray just to walk again.
You know what? That's exactly what I was going to say, because I may not be pain-free, but I can walk. And there was a time where I could barely walk, and I hear you loud and clear on that one. You don't realize until you lose something that you really, like things that you just take for granted, like walking, you know?
Canadia, you could read that one I posted.
Okay.
You would?
Blatantly. The Songs I Did Not Write by Jay Hatter. He said he had a gift for me, a reason to know my name, contracted for eternity, the cost of wealth and fame. He showed me how to play the chords throughout that haunting night, stolen from the sacred store, the songs I did not write. I did not read the small print lines. It was not written clear. For all the money and the fame, I am blind and cannot hear. End poem. Wow. That's exactly what I said to Wowzer. Yeah, Devil in the Daniel Webster, Essence of Devil, the Devil in Daniel Webster. That's a brilliant poem, yeah.
That would be a bummer.
Wouldn't that be something, eh? Wow.
Yeah, read the small print. Take the time to read the small print.
Okay. It was a contest, a proud member of... You don't want me to read that?
No, go ahead.
No author.
Okay.
Well, it says here... a Serena Waters contest music, proud member of Dante's House, 7 years ago was written. And then you got all kinds of different words in there. Did you want me to put that in? Oh, did you? Was this a word bank?
No. That's just categories.
Oh, okay. Have you heard about our friend Lou Yu? Is she okay?
From who?
Lou Yu Walda?
No. Who? Lou Yu?
Yeah, you remember Lou Yu.
Oh, yeah, Miss Lou Yu. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I sent her a note a long time ago. Wow. Oh, that's why you brought the comments. I got it. Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, I'm just going to find
Saturday
one more, and then we'll call
yeah.
it a night. Oh, I'm doing an
song?
Open mic on July the 3rd down at the local gathering post. Yeah.
Video.
I'm gonna
video.
What?
Get a video. Video.
I think somebody was gonna do a video of it, yeah. And so they're having music, and then I'm gonna do like when they have like a little break, I'm doing some poetry reading, and then more music. It starts at noon, it's gonna finish about 11 o'clock that night, so it should be fun.
Are you going to go out with a song?
Yeah. What song do you want to hear? Your song? Or is there one that you want to...
See, I don't know if I still have it rambling on. Why don't you play, just play some Chris Isaacs?
Oh, my thing's not... My computer's frozen. Hang on a second.
Okay.
I hate that when that happens. No, it's frozen solid. I can't play the song. Are you in the studio?
Yeah, in a second.
Oh, I got it to work there now, sorry. Okay, what song, what did you, Chris Isaac, you said?
It's under Hatter. Go to Hatter, Chris, and then Chris. You know what? Play any of the songs you see.
It doesn't look like you have very many in there. AP's got a ton of them.
Gotta go clear to H.
Oh, okay. I see what's happening now. Okay, yeah. Okay. So thank you for... Thanks, Deb, for calling in. And I hope everybody that, and thanks, Kay, for listening in. And I hope that you enjoyed the show and my soapbox. And I'm going to play us out with this Hatter song, if I can find it. Dang.
I'm right here, too.
I can't get my computer to work. It's frozen again. Okay, here we go. Deborah.
G H. Got it.
You?
With you. this way. What a wicked thing to do, to let me dream of you. What a wicked thing to say, you never felt this way. What a wicked thing to do, to make me dream of you. And I wanna fall in love. No, I wanna fall in love with you.
Night, night. Beautiful song. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.